Good morning. Well, welcome to worship. Glad you're here. If you're visiting with us first time, special welcome to you. And know that if you need a restroom at any point, the church doors are open. There's some up on the upper level, straight in and through the library and to the left, or else downstairs as well. And it appears that there are some refreshments that will be served following worship, so please stay if you can and visit and enjoy this beautiful day the Lord has given us. I'd like to draw your attention to some of the announcements. You have a couple of inserts. First of all, the amber-colored one coming up this afternoon at De Lagune Park from 2 to 6. We have an all-church picnic. It's sponsored by the Board of Christian Education. People of all ages are welcome and encouraged to come. Just a time to spend time together, get to know each other, enjoy the beautiful day the Lord has given us. If you have any lawn games you want to bring to share, do that. There'll be a picnic meal served at 5 p.m. Hot dogs, chips, and water are provided, as well as plates, etc. If you want to bring a dish to share, you're welcome and encouraged to do that. If you want to just bring your own food and do that, you can as well. And so we'll just have some games available. Bring some lawn chairs or blankets if you wish to sit on, and meet at picnic shelter number one at De Lagune Park starting at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And another outdoor activity this coming Saturday, July 31st, meet here at the church at 9:30 a.m. to carpool for the garden tour. They're going to Garden Pleasures Nursery a few miles past Erhard, and tour Mary's Gardens as well as the nursery. And then following that, walk along the river walk in Fergus, and finally end up at Galen and Joy Matheson's house for some lunch. So, good opportunities to enjoy the outdoors and each other. Coming up, this week, Tuesday, again at De Lagune Park, 6:30 p.m., the Stavanger softball team is playing. And our Bible study at Shady Oak, in-person and virtual, Wednesday, 7 p.m., Deacon Board meeting this week at 7, and VBS is coming up. Wow. It says 18th and 19th. Is it 17th? It's, yeah. Please note the correction to the dates for VBS. It should be August 17th and 18th. August 17th and 18th, not 18 and 19. So that's a Tuesday and Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. With a meal at 5:30 p.m. If you want to volunteer to help with that in any way, there's a need for helpers, so you can contact Joy here, and she'll tell you what's available. And encourage you to send your kids or grandkids or other kids you know. We're happy to have them come for VBS. And one more announcement. The call committee has been back at work as Pastor Giovanni is now in the call process, and the next seminary school year is approaching. Our desire is to fill the associate position that Pastor Giovanni currently has, and the call committee has interviewed a candidate and has asked him to come and preach. And on August 22nd, on Sunday, August 22nd, Carl Jewell will come to preach here at Stavanger as part of the candidating process. So that is the update there. Any other announcements?
Christ-ike, did you do the Christ-ike?
The Christ-ike, thank you. I knew there was one more. The other insert in your bulletin. A few weeks ago, we went, some of us, out to Inspiration Point for their passion play, the Christ Hike, and want to make that available again. I know there are some of you who were interested, but that date didn't work, so plan to do it again. Same format, this coming August 6th, a Friday. If you want to meet at Underwood Quick Stop Cafe for supper, we'll do that at 5:30. 6:30, and then if you want to just meet to carpool, we can meet at the quick stop there at 6:45. And if you want to just arrive on your own, be there at I Point Twin Oaks, 7:30 p.m. You can go to the website for more information, or if there's another date you'd rather go, there's still a couple more performances of the Christ Hike after August 6th and leading up to August 6th if that date doesn't work for you. But for those who want to come together, it's a great opportunity to see and hear the story of our Lord Jesus portrayed by camp staff, and the audience gets to participate as a crowd as we follow Jesus from scene to scene, hear his teaching and see what he did for us all the way up to the cross and the empty tomb. Great event to invite believers and unbelievers alike to hear or hear again the story of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So put that on your calendars, and you can ask me if you have questions about that. So those are the announcements I have. Any additional? Good. Then we will move to the primary order of business for today is to worship our Lord who has given us this beautiful day. So hear the call to worship from Psalm 136, verses 1 to 9. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. His love, and he who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. Let us pray. O Lord, thank you for your steadfast, enduring, loving kindness. And thank you, Lord, for blessing us with this beautiful day, this beautiful place to enjoy that which you have made and to celebrate and praise you for what you have done for us in our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. May his name be glorified and exalted, praised here, and may we, your people, be fed with the bread of life, your living word. And so, Lord, bless this time of worship. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite the worship team to lead us in singing his praises. One final announcement, the daily prayer notes for August arrived after our bulletins were distributed. They're now on the usher table where the offering box is if you have an offering to leave. So you can pick one of those up if you wish. They're available at the offering table as you leave today. Thank you.
Please sing along with us. The words on your bulletin as we start with "How Great Is Our God."
Splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let
continue singing, Oh Magnify the Lord.
Bunch of kids today. Hello. Having a good summer so far?
Yeah. Do you do anything fun yet for summer? How many kids went to the lake? Gone to the lake? Yeah. I love going to the lake in the summer. You could swim, you could go on the boat, or you could just play all kinds of water games. Today I have a little water experiment we're going to do. So here's a little pitcher of water. Yeah, and Cipriana's going to help me too. We're going to give you all a little prop here. So, Cipriana, you hold the ducky. And we'll give out... Here, Lily, can you hand these out? One for everybody. And don't give the dime to the baby. And here's one more. Okay. Do we have enough? I think we do. Good number. Okay. So, everybody... Why don't you come up here and tell me what you have, and if you think it will sink or float. So come to the microphone and tell them what you have. Let's start here. What is that?
This is a rock.
Say it here in the microphone.
This is a rock, and I think it will sink.
She has a rock, and she thinks it will sink. All right, put in the water. Oh, sinks right to the bottom. She has a rock, too. Oh, that sunk right to the bottom.
Both of the rocks
sunk. Both of the rocks sunk right to the bottom. I think we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, because the rocks are heavy.
And the stock girls, what do you have? What is that?
I have a dime, and I think it'll float.
Oh, she has a dime. Will the dime float? Oh, the dime sank right to the bottom. What is that? I don't know. What is that?
I have a wooden circle, and I think it'll sink.
Oh, it's a little wooden circle.
Yeah.
It looks like it might sink, but that one floats.
Then we have
Maribel. She has a little star, a little rubber toy. That one, put in the water. There it goes. Oh, that one floats. Very good. And Cipriana has a rubber duck. Does the rubber duck sink? What is that, rubber duck? The rubber duck floats. Yeah. Well, you kids knew that. We were pretty much on some things sink and some things float. Right? Those heavy rocks are going to sink right to the bottom.
Yeah.
Wouldn't because they're heavy. Wouldn't it be amazing if these rocks floated? Nah, I can't make that happen.
Yeah.
But today in the Bible, we see something awesome.
Yeah.
We see Jesus. And he's in the middle of the lake, on the water, and he's walking on the water. Now the rest of his disciples are out on a boat. And on the boat, they can float. But without a boat, most people, in fact, any person would sink right to the bottom. But Jesus can walk on the water. Oh, you want to try this one too? Jesus walks on the water. And Jesus shows us that he is God. He is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, by his miracles. And we're going to hear today what Jesus, the Son of God, says to us in our scripture. Jesus says, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." So we know we can be brave. We don't have to be afraid, no matter any news we hear in the world, no matter what we see, because this Jesus who can walk on the water is with us. So I want you to remember that, kids. Take courage, because Jesus is with you. Thank you. You can return to your seats. And I better dump out this water before... Well, it was my great pleasure to be here with you today, and we're recalling a very familiar story of Jesus walking on the water, a story from the Bible that we should all know, because it's in the Gospel of Mark, and the Gospel of Matthew, and also in the Gospel of John. There's something about this story we got to remember, because it's often repeated. I would like to read our passage for you today. It's found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, starting at verse 45. And y'all look so comfortable out there, but I will ask, as you are so able, would you please rise for the reading of the Gospel? Mark Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, he spoke to them and said, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever he was, wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into the villages, town, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. End of our reading, and you may be seated. Gospel starts out today immediately. That brings us into the story immediately. Well, this is immediately following the events that we heard of last week with Jesus feeding the 5,000 men. Jesus is miracles. He's healing the sick. He's providing food for the hungry. And here, immediately what? Immediately he makes the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. So we have this picture of Jesus abiding with the Father, abiding in prayer, taking that time. He's so busy. He's got crowds following him. But he gets alone to pray, to abide in the Father. Oh, yes. We see, well, Jesus was taking these disciples out there to get a quiet time, but he couldn't really find the place because of the crowds, because of all the need. Everyone was following him. And we see they all wanted to make him king. They were ready to make Jesus their leader. Here's a man who can heal the sick. Here's a man who can fill your stomach. He can provide all your earthly needs. And the crowds, they said, "Enough with this Herod. We want Jesus. He can meet our needs." Everything in the left-handed kingdom, the kingdom of this world, and the horizontal plane that we can see, Jesus meets those needs. He's healing the sick. He's feeding the hungry. They want Jesus. But here out on the water, in the middle of the lake, Jesus shows them something more. He shows his disciples something more. He's not merely after earthly power, not merely after a kingdom of this world. He shows them he's not merely one who can make laws like the laws of man that we follow. That he's coming down. This is our God who can govern the earth, who is Lord of all creation, who can tread upon the sea. He's giving his disciples a glimpse more in his self-revelation of who he is and what his mission is all about. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples. We see they're under the authority of Jesus. These disciples in this boat. These disciples in this boat, it's often a picture of the church. These disciples out on that lake. That early church, Jesus is sending them. He sends them into the storm. Now, we notice in Mark's gospel, there's not too much of an emphasis on the storm. We read it more in the other gospels, John and Matthew. Each gospel writer gives us a different perspective. We hear about Peter in one and Peter stepping out. Not so in Mark. We don't focus much on the storm here. In fact, the disciples who are terrified, it doesn't say they're terrified of the storm. No. They're terrified at the sight of Jesus. They can't comprehend what they're seeing. They can't process what's in front of them. Because just like a rock floating, it's not physically possible what they're seeing. Therefore, they resort to the supernatural, to superstition. It's got to be a ghost. They're terrified. What is this before them? Who is this Jesus? More and more, he's showing them who he is, what he's about, out in the middle of the lake. Notice what we see. They think it's a ghost. They all saw him and were terrified. And now we can listen in even closer when we're shook, when we're in terror. Aren't we all the more prone and apt to listen, to hear from God? When we're shaken and scared, now we can hear from the Lord. Now we have he has our attention. And he says to his disciples, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." But Jesus, he doesn't shield his disciples from the storm, from these winds. He sends them right into it. He sends them into it because in doing so, they're going to learn more about who he truly is. They're going to get more of God. They're out on their mission. They're busy. They're tending the needs to people. But now, they're getting God. They're getting filled up. Just as Jesus was abiding in prayer, he was praying. So too now, he takes that unity he has with the Father and he shows his disciples more and more of who he truly is. Notice the text here in verse 48. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. It says, he was about to pass by them. He was about to pass by them. Sounds strange. People read this different ways. He was about to pass by them as they're struggling out. The wind is against them. They're struggling at the oars. And Jesus had no problem at all. He was about to pass by them. Well, is that what it means? Well, some point to the Old Testament here. We hear this language often in the Old Testament, in the prophets. When we see God about to pass by Moses. God passed by Moses, for no one could look directly at God. He could not behold all his glory and majesty, but he passed by Moses, and Moses could watch as he passed by him. Also, too, with Elijah, God passed by Elijah. We see this over and over again in the Bible. God passing by the prophets, passing by Job. And here, Jesus, more than a prophet, but God, passing by the disciples. He's about to pass by them. They're getting a glimpse of who this truly is, who Jesus is. And don't we need to know who Jesus is today? Amongst the trials of life, amongst the turmoil, amongst what we see, the outlook, what we hear on the news. It's been a difficult time, hasn't it? We face all kinds of trials in our health, in our personal lives, and in public. There's all kinds of trials. There's all kinds of needs. But we must take courage. We hear the words of the Lord. We only get a brief word from the Lord here, directly from Jesus. But it's turned up so that we can see, as Jesus walking on the water, say, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." That it is I, Jesus says to you. Here he's revealing himself in the Greek, ego eimi. This is the same phrase he used when he said, "I am." Before Abraham was, "I am." It is I. Jesus is showing you who he truly is. He's showing the disciples who he is. You need to know who God is today. You need to know who Jesus is. And in that, you can take courage. We don't muster up strength from ourselves, but we have the promises of God from his word. To take courage in times of fear, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Therefore, a Christian life is one that is marked by courage, a sense of fearlessness, because we have God now in the person of the Holy Spirit. For Jesus has ascended and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, as we confess. We have the Holy Spirit with us. And that you can take courage in these times. We are as the disciples out on that boat. The disciples were helpless without Jesus. They're struggling in their mission. They're using all their might and all their strength, and they're not making much headway. They've been at it all night, struggling at the oars. It says the wind was against them. They're rowing. These guys are expert fishermen. They know how to navigate the lake, just as many Minnesotans here know how to navigate the lake. They didn't have the engine, but they're using their strength. They're using their oars. And it's almost dawn. They're still at it. The wind is against them. But here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. Ever been surprised by the Lord? Surprised by His presence? Surprised by how He shows up and what He does in your life? The disciples were surprised. They were terrified. Terror is a common, pretty common reaction to the presence of God showing up in your life. But God, in His revelation, we don't have to be afraid anymore. He reveals more and more of Himself. And now He's revealing Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, the revelation of God, the Word of God given to us, so that we might know our God, so that we might know the Father, Jesus shows up. And His words are words of comfort, words of promise. Take courage, He says. There is trouble. We do face. We do struggle. Jesus says to His disciples. And Jesus says to us, we must hear this word today. Today, for you have a charge from the Lord in your mission. You have a calling from God. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jesus had to show up in this way. He had to tread upon the water. In the Old Testament, the prophets, it says, He alone treads upon the waters. Jesus is showing His disciples who He is. We got to know who He is today. It's amazing. They're amazed by it. You got two pictures, the disciples out on the boat struggling without Jesus. But He sees them. They are not alone. They feel alone. They're not alone. Jesus shows up. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Oh, but they were afraid. And aren't we afraid today? Let's be honest with ourselves. Don't we have fear? Don't we have anxieties? Don't we have worries and troubles? What are we doing with them? Are we trying to do it ourselves? Are we trying to row that boat ourselves against the wind? Take courage, Jesus says. It is I. Don't be afraid. Oh, but they were completely amazed. Why? For they had not understood about the loaves. You don't muster up this courage from your own self. This courage comes from knowing Him, from understanding the truth. They did not understand about the loaves. They just witnessed a miracle. They didn't know who He was. Not yet. But church, now we know. We know who He is. We know the God we serve. We know His self-giving love. We know the revelation that He wants you, that He came for you to seek and to save the lost. He calls you out on a mission. He calls you with a purpose. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. And today, if you hear His word, do not let your heart be hardened. As the disciples were, their hearts were hardened. Seeing these miracles, and yet, you can't process it. You don't know what to do with it in the natural. This is where our faith comes in. Take faith. We know He is with us. Immediately, there's a sense of urgency in this text. The immediacy we see over and over repeated, pushing the pace of what's going on. The disciples, we hardly have time to process what's going on here. They're feeding 5,000 men miraculously. They're out now on the sea, fighting against the wind, struggling in their boat. And then Jesus shows up, walking on the lake. Oh, and he was about to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. How often do we go somewhere else? Let's turn to the Lord. Let's look to him. They cried out. Perhaps it's time for us to cry out if we're dealing with unbelief. Perhaps it's time to cry out for God to show you who he is. If your heart is hardened, ask him. When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats wherever they heard he was. You can't stop the momentum now. But Jesus took that brief time out on the sea, that brief time with the disciples, with the church, with those who are called out by his name. They're going out on mission, but Jesus took that time out on the sea, out on the lake, to show them more and more who he was, who they were serving, who they're following. And he charges them. I said it over, and I'll say it over again, because this word is a simple word, yet it's extremely difficult. Take courage. Church, now, in these days, such a time as this, take courage, for the Lord is with you. Don't be afraid. He climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. Lord, we praise you. We praise you, God, for you. To you belongs all the glory and honor and praise. Lord, we are amazed by you when we hear of your wonders, of your deeds, Lord, and how you show up. We're continually amazed as you call us into your mission, as you send us out, not shielding us from the storm, but guiding us through it and charging us to take courage, for we all have a calling from God. We all seek to follow you, Lord. But we know that it is by your grace, by the perfect sacrifice, that we're made clean in the sight of God, holy and acceptable because of you. Lord, it is all because of you, for you are our God, and we trust you more and more. Lord, this week, may we be very courageous. May we be courageous in your name. May we be courageous in you. May we take courage, as you said, and not be afraid. Yes, Lord. Amen. God bless you, church. Take courage. Jesus is with you. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Giovanni. Let's sing our closing chorus on the back page of your bulletin.
Steadfast.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.